Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
For multiple bonus shows per week and access to our full podcast archive featuring in-depth interviews, movie commentaries and live shows, please check out the Steel Wars Patreon podcast feed. The Content Club level is just $3 a month and is chock full of Star Wars fun and really helps the ongoing production of the show. All the bonus shows download into your podcast app like any other show. Give a month a try at patreon.com/steelwars. Link is in this episode's show notes. And if you do, hit us up for a question for the weekly Patreon Q&A. And now on with the show. I really hope you enjoy it.
Hey guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I'm comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. And welcome back to our Star Wars Celebration 2019 coverage. This one's a real special one. We are now currently waiting on press row for the cast and crew of Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, to be interviewed. And these interviews are being recorded for Studio 10 in Australia, but here they are for you in full, in audio form, or if you want to watch the video versions, you can go to youtube.com/Steel Wars. And we're going to be talking to J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, the whole crew. It's going to be the best of times. And if you enjoy this episode, please share it around. There's hopefully going to be some real good stuff in here. Let's do it. Anthony Daniels, I'm sure many people have asked you when Star Wars started if you thought it would all end up like this. But my question for you is, when you were traipsing about the mud at Star Wars Celebration 1 20 years ago, would you imagine that it would end up in this arena spectacular that you just participated in? And, must I say, quite held the court in as well. Very entertaining.
Well, thank you for that. One of the pleasures I will have on my panel, which is on Sunday evening, is frankly to introduce Dan Manson, who was the producer of the very first Mud Biscuit. Were you there?
I was not.
You've seen the pictures.
I have.
It was a complete disaster because of all sorts of things beyond his control, especially the weather. And to see it grow from that mud-soaked aerodrome in Denver, Colorado, and to come here to this really beautiful facility in Chicago, and to be so well produced with cameras. Back then, I was the host, and I had the script written on the palm of my hand in ink, trying to time everything and look at the lighting. And we didn't have any studio feed or anything. Now it's very high tech. And I love the fact that Dan is here this weekend to enjoy the honor of seeing something he started.
Awesome. Over the 40 years of Star Wars fandom, what has Star Wars taught you about people? You've traveled the world. You've met tens of thousands of fans. What have you picked up on?
It's a very good question because to think about it, it is a common denominator. It doesn't matter who you are, if the bit underneath that number is Star Wars, whether you like the dark side or the good side or whatever, Darth Maul is my favorite. 3PO would be so shocked to hear that.
He's shocked to hear anything.
Actually, he is. He has to lighten up. Maybe he will now in retirement. I don't know. there is that common denominator that draws people together because it's full of discussion points, mm-hmm. And you hear people in line debating it. I'm not terribly into who shot who first in all that Greedo thing and whatever. And they can go way into the mysteries of the Force, and it gives them something really honourable to talk about beyond football, baseball, all that kind of thing. It generally, there's so much in there to tease the little grey cells.
Now, one of my favourite lies throughout all my life is no more Star Wars films. I heard it in 83, I heard it in 2005, and now I'm hearing this is the end of the Skywalker saga. Where do you stand with that?
This is the third time that I have said goodbye to a trilogy, do you see? And nobody else can say that. And it's quite weird, but actually, this is the end of the Skywalker story. That doesn't mean there are going to be other stories. Space is a big place.
I've heard, yeah.
Oh, yeah, even in Australia, it's big. So there's lots more to delve into of something that's going on that planet. You'll meet new and interesting characters. And what I would like to say in doing that, don't forget 3PO.
Well, it's been a pleasure to meet you as an interesting character, and thanks for all your support of Star Wars throughout the years, man. Look, we all appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being there.
Cheers. From what we just saw, what you just said on the panel, it seems like Finn has accepted his role as a resistance hero. Is that a lot more fun to play the confident, ass-kicking, name-taken Finn?
Yeah, but it's also fun to not play that for two films, and then to have the fans weigh in on Finn and weigh in on the mystery of his future and his past. So that whole trajectory has been really, really cool for me to be a part of.
Speaking of his past, do we get more backstory on Finn? Does Finn ever get a surname? What's like?
Definitely get more information about all the individuals in the film through the dynamics and connections and new relationships. But yeah, I mean, you get to know a lot more about Finn, but a lot of it is about the growth and who he is internally and some, you know, a few shock moments. I can't reveal nothing. But yeah.
Star Wars is all about like lessons and learning. What has John Boyega learnt about the world during his Star Wars journey?
I guess I've learnt so much, but I think the biggest transition with this is what comes with the fame. And fame was always defined to me in one way. And I guess I've seen two different perspectives. And for me, I've learnt so much about self-control, about the true meaning of humility, grace. Also known how to enjoy and be confident. I've learned so much, and a lot of it's been through my cast members and JJ and Kathy, learning from them professionally also. It's just been a huge, huge journey of lessons.
Nice. Well, good luck with the film. Good luck with the rest of your career. And also, thanks for your the vibe that you give to Star Wars fandom.
Hey, thank you, man.
We love it. Always. Cheers, man. Good seeing you.
Thanks,
take care. Jonas, I always find the presentations very emotional, but as a father of a six-month-old boy, the photo of you as Chewbacca holding up your son,
can I get a high five?
Hell yeah, you can. Yeah, this is the longest I've been away from my son, and seeing that, I was just like, ugh. How is having a little boy sort of change your perception of what these films are about?
I mean, it's so in its gravity, the becoming a father and having someone who you need to care for more than yourself is very life-changing. And that changed my way of working for this film, because I now had to... I had two things in my mind, the film and also always the well-being of my family. Yeah. So that was the greatest change. And I think it sort of fits the character of Chewbacca, who's always caring, always loyal to his friends.
Yeah.
That is the greatness of Chewie, in my opinion, that he's always there as an undertone to whatever scene there is. He's always there watching and securing the backside.
Is there a chance he got costumed up and we might see him in the film as a little creature?
No, we're going to have to wait and see. But at this point, no, they're no.
Stepping into the yak fur of Peter Mayhew, how is it, what do you study? What is his Chewbacca? I know guitarists will see other great guitarists and go, oh, just the way they do that. What are some of the little things that you, when you watch Return of the Jedi, you're just ooh, that's some good Chewbacca.
What are the scenes for myself?
Well, just the little things that like, maybe like that you envy of Peter's performance that you're trying to like get down.
Well, Peter had a very unique physicality, and I'm trying to take those things, but then also answer to the call for challenging scenes. To I have to create my own version of it, as I'm not. I'm not Peter Mayhew in that sense, but I'm so grateful for him that he gave Chewbacca this memorability,
yeah.
And that is what I'm going for.
In Solo, we saw a much more active Chewbacca, and it was thrilling to see him in all those scenes. Does that continue into Rise of the Skywalker? I'm getting used to that title myself.
Exactly. Well, yeah, Chewbacca. I mean, depends on if he's feeling. Fit that morning, you know, he'll exert his power into never before seen stunts. And in this movie, you know, we'll have to wait and see, but it's going to be an adventure, I'll tell you that, to remember, yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, congratulations to both of us, I guess.
Absolutely.
And good luck with the film.
Thank you so much.
Cheers, mate. I am wondering.
Oh, hello there.
Hey, everyone. You're backstage today.
Yeah.
You're about to walk out.
Yeah.
Did it dwell upon you how much those steps were going to change your life?
Yeah, like a ton of bricks. I stood behind Jonas as well. He's so tall that I was just like going to like hide behind him for as long as I could. And then I came out and it was such an incredible response that I instantly felt comfortable. And just really excited to be able to say something about what I've been working at for the last year.
Nice. What advice did the other cast members that have been in Star Wars, some for 40 years,
yeah.
like gave you, the new kid on the block,
yeah.
first day at school?
Yeah.
What was the advice and how did that advice work out?
I mean, I think it was a lot to do with just relaxing into it and knowing that the hard work was to come, but also that to get to this point means that you're worthy of being there. And I got a lot of reassurance from them, which I more than anything, I'm grateful for them for sharing that with me and reassuring me that I was meant to be in a Star Wars film.
Oscar, it's a pleasure to meet you and your beard.
Thank you.
Very impressed.
Yes. Not necessarily in that order, but yeah.
Yeah.
Either or. Let's not play favorites.
Yeah.
JJ posted that photo of you guys embracing on the final day of episode 9. Mm-hmm. I'm interested, during that embrace, what was going through your mind about this whole experience?
Well, not to destroy the story, but that actually wasn't the last day. That was a picture of our last day in Jordan. Mm-hmm. Then I had another month after that on set. So, and that wasn't me crying. I had sand in my eyes from the. No, I'm just kidding. No, it was an emotional moment. Just because I think it's just a symbol of how close we got and how much this has meant to us, and particularly the three of us. That I mean, we. I remember I had my screen test with John and Daisy, and they had just been cast, and you know, going from a. You know, seeing John being like this young, happy, eager actor, and now he's like the Prince of Nigeria or something, right? You know, it's like, it's been an incredible journey to see that, just personally with each other, and then also...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The incredible cinematic lineage and the history, these 42 years that have spanned this incredible cultural phenomenon, and to have been a part of, you know, telling the end of that story, it's just very profound.
Awesome. Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure to watch you go through that journey. And yeah,
right on.
It's good.
Thanks,
to see you.
Man.
Bye. Kathleen Kennedy, blown away by the panel, the trailer, the title. Great to have a Skywalker name in the title. At the start of all this, at The Force Awakens to now, how different has the trajectory of the movie's gone to where you thought, like, did you, like, it's, there's a lot of hearsay and actors say this about, was there an end point at the end that you were sort of aiming for and ducking and weaving? Like, how different is it than where you perceived it in 2015 to where it is now?
Well, we knew that George had always envisioned this kind of three-act structure of these three trilogies. Mm-hmm. But George didn't leave anything more than a blueprint. And certain characters, obviously, that we've known and loved from the previous movies, and then the new characters that were created by J.J. in The Force Awakens. So that's really the challenge, is that we don't have source material. We don't have 800-page books that we're adapting. We don't even really have comic books that give us a great deal. We have an idea, we have a mythology that George Lucas created. And from that, we bring very incredibly talented people like J.J. into the process and our story group up at Lucasfilm. And we talk about, just the same way I'm sure fans talk, we talk about what's meaningful and what we wish for and what we hope happens with the characters. And it's an evolutionary process of storytelling.
In saying that, how much 2015 Kathleen Kennedy sees the last 10 minutes of episode 9, is she shocked or is she like, oh yeah, no, that's where I thought we were going all along?
Oh yeah, I'm incredibly moved. Let me put it this way, it's where I hoped it would go.
That's a good Star Wars quote. You mentioned the panel that you really, you know, looked at George's movies and tried to really study it. Was there anything like surprising, any like thing that you picked up that maybe you hadn't seen before?
No, I think the interesting thing that happens when you look at what George was doing is he was coming from a place of a filmmaker in 1977, and we're filmmakers in 2019, and a lot has changed in the world. And perspectives had changed in the world. And there are things about Star Wars that always feel relevant and modern in their own way, even though it's a kind of timeless setting. And I think that's what has changed. That's what you find yourself looking at. What did he start with, and where have we ended up?
Nice. Now, can I ask you a question that's a little bit off the grid? The years ago, you were at a charity event wearing the Nike Forces Female t-shirt. And, and a lot's been made, like if misinterpreted, but I just want to, like, do you want to, like, sort of talk about, like, sort of just set the record straight of, like, what that t-shirt sort of meant and...
The Force is female. I didn't know it was controversial.
Oh, yeah. People were very upset about that you were wearing a Nike t-shirt that said that, and maybe that's, like, if it's...
Really?
Well, why is it female? But, like, I think it's cool. You guys look like you're having a great time.
I think, you know, that it was something that Nike created. I didn't create that t-shirt. I thought it was just kind of fun. My girls go to an all-girls school, and the entire school was wearing those t-shirts, and they were having so much fun. And I think the amazing thing about the Force is in all of us.
Yeah.
It's not that it's just female. It's not that it's just male. It's the Force. And whether or not somebody can claim it as their own, I think that that's ubiquitous.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize it was actually controversial.
Are you implying that the Force might be my cat as well?
It might be your cat.
Excellent. Yes. Thanks so much for answering
that.
Yeah, yeah. Really appreciate it. And Daisy?
I've just been in your country.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Visiting your sister?
Yes.
You told me that last time?
And in Sydney.
Ah, yeah. Last time we met, you said your sister was down in Melbourne. So good to see you again. Now, the character of Rey before The Force Awakens to now in the galaxy is far more astute.
Yes.
I would assume the person of Daisy Ridley has also had a similar sort of worldliness. Does that parallel between the character you're playing and your real life like story?
I think I would have had that anyway, because I think like 20s is, you know, it's a changing time. But I definitely feel it's funny, because even watching the footage of the thing before we did the panel, I'm like, oh my god, I was a baby. I think I just turned 21. I feel more confident. I feel more happy. I feel everything just feels great. great. And I think I'm very lucky that my work environment was so wonderful and comfortable, and everyone makes you feel really safe because it's the best way to grow, I guess.
How does Ray feel in that same situation? Sounds like the opposite almost.
No, I think Ray, like, you know, she chose her family and she chose well. Like, she's surrounded by awesome people. But there is more resting on her shoulders than is resting on mine. So there are more, you know, there are confidence moments of like, oh, as you can imagine. And I think JoJo wrote such a well-rounded character. You sort of really see the vulnerabilities and all of that. But I think she's grown too.
I have to ask you, do you know about Raylo and are you one?
I do know about Raylo. I don't know how I feel about it because everyone's talking about like the toxic thing of a relationship when it's like, it's essentially emotional. It's a tricky road. I do feel like deep down Kylo like thinks what he's doing is right and he doesn't think he's wrong, but he has also killed so many people. So I can't really get behind it now in a personal way, you know?
It's going to be a lot of heartbroken people out there.
Well, maybe there's redemption. Who knows? Maybe we explore it in the film.
Bendemption.
Oh, nice. Have you thought of that before?
Oh, no.
Redemption is better.
Ray needs no demption.
No.
Yes. Thanks so much, Daisy.
Thank you.
Cheers. J.J. Abrams, as a Star Wars fan watching Episode 7, if you weren't involved with these new films, how shocked would you be that the new trailer ended with the Emperor laughing?
I probably would be pretty shocked. Yeah.
Is that something like you've had the rare option of like you started, Ryan did the middle, and you're coming back. Mm-hmm. How is the trajectory of that to, I'm sure you had an idea of where the characters would go. Are you going with that where you started? Have you veered off Ryan? Are you sort of like working your way back? Like, how does that creative process work?
Working on Episode 9 was a particular challenge. We had 8 movies that came before it that we needed to draw to a conclusion. Luckily, we had characters that were that felt rich and deep, and in a way, we hadn't even, I felt, really hadn't explored as much as we could yet. And looking at the unbelievable saga, looking at the opportunity and the challenges, there was greater opportunity than there was challenge. And so I feel super lucky that I got to be involved working with Chris Terrio, the writer, to tell the story and bring it to a close. So there was a lot of, you know, infinite challenges and pressures, but it was ultimately a greater opportunity.
You're making a film, you're concluding a trilogy, which is conclusion of a trilogy of trilogies. Mm-hmm. How challenging was it to answer like all like the adventure that we've had for 40 years in one film?
That's sort of what I was just saying, though. Yeah. You know, looking at all of them, that was really the ultimate challenge of the movie, was making something that's a standalone movie that is hopefully a thrill ride, an emotional story, surprising, fun, scary, heartbreaking, everything, but also something that is in a way inheriting everything that's come before, and it's very much what the characters are going through in the movie. I mean, it's about a new generation, you know, dealing with the good and the bad of what's come before. You know, sins of the father, but also the accomplishments, the achievements. You know, what wisdom has been imparted. You know, how do you deal with something that is as you know, as terrifying as what they do? And that, to me, is the power of Star Wars. You can tell stories like that.
How surprising is the final 30 minutes of the film to 2016 J.J. Abrams?
I can't wait for you to see it. I don't want to tell you anything about it, but I will say that I think that it's a third act that I think, and we're actually literally cutting it right now, but it is it's a pretty exciting chunk of the movie.
I'm feeling pretty excited.
I can't wait for you to see it.
Cheers. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you very
much.
Appreciate it. You too.
So there you go, our very quick and fun interviews with the cast of Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. It is a hectic scene doing that press row. There's an art to it. It is a lot of moving parts. You're watching
you know, what actor's coming up next and if you can grab them and you know, you're trying to get in extra questions and all that sort of stuff and get some good content out of it. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you're new to the Steel Wars podcast, please check out a few other episodes. Just before this one, we have our episode 9 in-panel podcast. We'll be covering the Clone Wars, Mandalorian, and talking to tons of fellow Star Wars fans on the floor and anyone we bump into. And go into the backlog if you are new. We've got interviews with Ben Mendelsohn, full-length hour interview, another podcast with Ray Park, Darth Maul, Stephen Stanton, Sam Witwer, and just tons and tons of fascinating Star Wars fans. So welcome to the Steel Wars podcast. If you're new, please stay around. You can follow us on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Steel Wars. Huge thanks to Paul Jones from the Geek Dudes and Hey Hey, It's the Podcast down in Australia for editing these and putting them all together for us. It is so appreciated. Hope you're enjoying Star Wars Celebration. If you're home, I hope you're enjoying the content and I hope you're enjoying the live stream and all that good stuff. We'll, of course, have tons more episodes coming up this week. So until then, may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.